living in a place like Boulder, it can feel a tad presumptuous to let people in on the ins and outs of how you exercise. I mean, I consider myself something of a hiker and a backpacker, but to claim such a title will frequently lead to embarrassment. It's not uncommon for me to be wheezing my way up a mountain when someone runs past me with the grace of a gazelle. Just utter ease. I haven't gone backpacking, admittedly, in over a year now. And someone may rightly ask how I can be a backpacker who doesn't go backpacking. Like I said, it is dangerous to discuss one's exercise habits in Boulder. As we conclude our brief exploration of baptism this week, we follow the theological implications of the sacrament to the very end. Yes, baptism grows out of Jesus' historical baptism in order to stand in solidarity with sinners and sufferers. Yes, baptism is available to all people in every stage of life so as to be included within the family of God. And yes, baptism may be a one-time event, but it is also something that we continuously remember so as to mature in our lives of faith. However, all of those realities play into the New Testament's central claim about the sacrament, namely that we are baptized into death. But what does this mean as anything more than a metaphor? What value can entering into death hold for us in the act of baptism? And how do we live out the implications of dying in our daily lives? In order to understand why the New Testament presents baptism as death, we need to return to where we began this series, with the baptism of Jesus. As was noted, Jesus specifically deliberated to be baptized by John in order to fulfill all righteousness. This phrase is something that Matthew uses to describe what it means to obey the revealed will of God for the life of Jesus. John's baptism, this had been for the repentance of sins. And in receiving this baptism, Jesus places himself squarely on the side of people who are in need of repentance. This foreshadows how he will always side with God's people. He will take their place, he will share in their penitence, he will live their life, and yes, he will eventually even die their death. In order for Jesus to fulfill the Father's will, he must intimately associate himself with people who are in need of being baptized. And importantly for the New Testament, and for the writers who are exploring and examining what Jesus' baptism might mean, I think it is relevant to see that Jesus' act of baptism is a two-way street. Not only is Jesus entering into radical solidarity with God's people but not only is Jesus both commanding us to be baptized and accepting a baptism for himself so as to stand in solidarity with us, but these are also ways for us to stand in solidarity with him. You see, this line of thought of Jesus as the Messiah standing with us and us standing with him and us being related with one another in this act, This grows out of Israel's messianic theology, in which the Messiah becomes something like the incarnate avatar of God's people. Now let's think of Isaiah's servant, who in chapter 41 is identified explicitly with Israel. Isaiah writes, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen." And then this line of thought about the servant and the servant's suffering is continued in chapters 52 and 53, where the servant is not simply viewed as Israel as a whole, but is individualized into a messianic figure. Continuing, "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Israel is God's servant, and the Messiah is God's servant because the Messiah is true Israel. The people are faithfully represented by the Messiah before God, and the people receive the benefits that God bestows upon the Messiah. Well, as I've said, being baptized into Jesus' baptism is a means of entering into his story, his faithful accomplishment of what God desires from him. When we share in his baptism, we enjoy God's pleasure that is directed towards Jesus because of his faithfulness. And if you're still tracking with me in any of this, we can sum up this idea as that which is true of the Messiah is true of the Messiah's people. And the reason death becomes so important within this schema is that Jesus' downward mobility into death is the means by which he accomplished all righteousness. The way that he finally stands in perfect solidarity with us sinners and sufferers when he experiences his death. However, beyond this, his acceptance of death is necessary for moving beyond dying and into resurrection. In being baptized into Jesus' death, who is the Messiah, in whose existence his people find their identity, we share in that which he has accomplished through his death. In being baptized into Jesus' death, we know God's declaration of pleasure and the hope for life that moves beyond the boundary of dying. As we heard in both of our readings from Paul this morning, "Having been buried with him into baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." And then going further, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." Essentially, a real part of ourselves has died in our baptism. That part of ourselves that was governed by the old, broken patterns of human existence. Jesus, in standing in solidarity with sinners through his baptism, carried that aspect of ourselves with him into his death on the cross. And if we will allow for that part of ourselves to be truly put to death with him, then we will also enjoy the full reality of his solidarity with us as we are raised into a new kind of human life with him. I will not lie to you. These claims can feel a tad confusing and intellectually distant from all of our lived experience in the world. I have been baptized. I practice remembering my baptism, and I try to live out my baptism with Christ's help. However, the part of me that has a bent towards sinning often feels very alive and well. I claim to be alive in Christ, but it sure can look like I am dead in sin. This isn't unlike claiming to be a backpacker who doesn't backpack. There's something that feels incongruent about this claim. However, I find that I am more likely to go backpacking if I have someone who invites me to go along with them, to share the load of the journey. I can sometimes move beyond merely calling myself a backpacker into actually backpacking when I have someone who is encouraging me along the way. And this is true of my life as a baptized disciple of Christ. I don't merely want to call myself a Christian. I want to Christian as a verb. That is, I want to live like Christ. This is not merely a one-time event, but rather an ongoing process of dying to myself so as to be made alive in Him. Think about what Paul says at the beginning of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. As an old Bible study leader of mine would point out, the problem with a living sacrifice is that it will keep wanting to crawl off of the altar. Well, we need Christ's help to hold us in the work of being transformed for the sake of doing God's will. And God's will for us is the same as it was for Christ, to willfully accept the death of sin so as to obtain a new kind of life. And life is known in the living. So we need to stay in communion with Jesus and live. But what does this look like in the day today? What can we do to continue practicing our baptism into Christ's death? Well, for starters, we must ask Christ to help us put to death the old order of our lives so that we can be opened up to receiving the new. We often have a very small purview of sin, relegating it to a laundry list of bad behaviors that tend to sound rather trivial. However, we often, in doing this, continue to protect the broken aspects of the human self, such as our self-satisfied egos, artifices that we've erected for self-protection, and the judgments that we hold against others in order to keep them at arm's length. These are the things that conform to the pattern of the present world that need to be put to death. So honestly assessing ourselves about the kinds of death that we carry around in our living bodies, we ought to ask for these things to be buried with Christ through our baptisms. And this is the ongoing work that our tradition has called sanctification. The process of letting the old self die in order for the new self to be made holy. It is a way of living that moves us out of the patterns of death. So perhaps this week, when you feel yourself becoming defensive about something, stop and vocalize what you're feeling, either to yourself or perhaps the person who's making you feel defensive. Ask for forgiveness and help, so as to accept that this is a part of you that you're protecting that may just need to die. This will be incredibly difficult and vulnerable and risky. We like the broken aspects of ourselves, since they often shield us from the painful work of self-examination. But death is not a comfortable thing, which means that living into our baptisms will often prove painful. Or if you experience yourself judging the people who are around you, both those whom you love and those whom you dislike, consider why it is that you're feeding those judgments. How does Christ view those people? What are the reasons that they have for behaving in the way that you dislike? Could it be that they are living into their ego and their artifice for the sake of protecting themselves like we so often do? How might you have compassion for them in the midst of their struggles? And then what can you do to step into their lives to offer them the comfort and peace so that they can also engage in the hard work of becoming the person that God wants them to be? Being radically open to another person is a kind of death, since that is what we witness through Jesus' choice to be baptized. My friends, it is a wondrous and frightening thing to be in communion with Jesus, our Messiah. When we find our deaths and our lives in him, well, then we are invited to move beyond simply being Christians into living as Christians. Sharing in the baptism of Jesus' death will surely be painful, since it will require putting to death aspects of ourselves that we might find comforting and self-preserving. However, the kind of life on the other side of our deaths, well, that is a great gift. So may we allow ourselves to die in order to find out what it means to be in Christ. May we die in order to find out what it means to truly live. Christ, have mercy. Amen.